Don't fade out on me just yet. Good morning. Denny Long back at it along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. One time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's Automotive this past week?
Oh, very busy. The heat has definitely affected the cars on the road. So we're, I think we're almost 2 weeks behind at the moment, but we'll power through as always.
What's the typical ailment, and are newer cars just as prone to this, whether it's the refrigerant leaking, or is that the most common?
Well, right now, air conditioning is definitely a hot topic, as you can imagine. You know, we hadn't needed most of the summer, and then in the last week or two here, as it's heated up, people have been going to that dial to turn on the air conditioning and hasn't been there for them. So we've had a lot of that work. But keep in mind, like, the past winter was quite mild, and the extremes are very hard on cars. So when it's very, very cold in the winter or very hot in the summer is what really taxes the vehicles and causes the breakdown. So since we've had a mild not a very cold winter and a fairly cool summer up to this point, the cars haven't been stressed. And then now that they have, they're just a variety of problems that we're seeing, but it's fine. You know, this is kind of part of the course, and we'll keep marching and we'll get through them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about the mild winter and the wet kind of summer. By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, by all means, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. And you know, our time is limited. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning. So call or text 651-461-9226. Nick, speaking of phone calls, I see we have Nate calling in this morning from Mankato. Hi, Nate. You first up here. What's your question for Nick?
Well, a very good morning to you, sir. I have an 07 Chevy Silverado pickup, and I was informed by a policeman that I have no brake lights. Okay, I have a brake light on the cab. It comes on. I checked the fuses and I checked the bulbs. To me, everything looked good. What else can I be looking for?
Well, at the base of the brake pedal, there is a switch there. When you depress the pedal, the switch will make contact, which then sends the power back to the bulbs themselves. So I'd tell you to maybe get a test light if you have one, or a voltmeter. Get back to those rear bulbs. Have somebody in the vehicle exercising the pedal and see if you're getting power back to there. If you're getting power, then we have to check the ground circuit. We have to make sure that we're making a good ground to complete the circuit. So it could be something as simple as a brake switch. Maybe there's a bad ground or a connection somewhere. But I think with a little time, you should be able to get to the bottom of it.
All right. Very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you might have this morning for Nick. Here's the text, Nick. 2018 Chevy Suburban front tires are having inside tread worn off. They just had the passenger side ball joints replaced a year ago. Alignment or more, you think an alignment or more ball joints need replacement? What's your guess?
Well, I guess that kind of depends if they did the alignment when they replaced the ball joints. So I would start there. You know, an alignment's a lot less expensive. And alignment's not bad maintenance. You know, we didn't have a very rough winter, but some of the roads are still pretty poor shape. So they can get out of alignment just from regular wear and tear. So if you're having abnormal wear of any sort, the first place to start is having that alignment checked and maybe adjusted.
All right, very good. Another call coming in just now. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Steve calling in from East Bethel this morning. Hi, Steve. What is your question,
Hi.
Please?
Nick, I've got a Trailblazer that I've got an alternator question on. I put in a brand-new rebuilt alternator and then had it tested, and it's showing 15.5 volts, which is fail. Now, the range for this alternator, according to the Haynes manual, is 13.5 to 14.7 volts. So I'm not certain if I've got a bad alternator or not, but what's totally confusing the situation is my owner's manual that I'm looking at has a voltmeter gauge on my dash that shows a range of 9 to 19, which is a total of 10 volts, and says it's normal for the needle to transition to a higher or a lower reading during operation. I have a two-part question. What causes that fluctuation? And then the second thing is, Is it something to do with what's in the computer in the ECM? Because right now, I really don't want to tackle putting in another alternator and then going to the trouble of making sure to have it bench tested before I even leave the store.
So the alternator will put out what's asked of it. The range, like on your dash, you know, from the 9 to 19, is not 100% accurate either. You know, it says 9 to 19, but that hasn't been fully verified and tested and calibrated. So if it's typically in the middle, I would agree. I would like to see an alternator in most cases running around 14.2, you know, ish type volts. Now, when you have a heavy load, you have a lot of the electronics running inside the vehicle. You got the blower fan, you got the radio, the headlights. You might see that gauge dip a little bit because it's trying to keep up with the load that's asked of it. Now, as far as yours running at 15.5 volts, I think that's a little bit high too. It's not full field, I mean, it's not running at 100%, but there's a reason it's doing that. So either the regulator on that Reman alternator is like an aftermarket one that isn't quite the same quality as an OE one, or there's a lot going on in the car asking the alternator to put out more. So before you remove the alternator, test the battery. Make sure that the battery is good and strong. It's not asking too much of the alternator to replenish it. Put a voltmeter actually on across the battery when the vehicle's running to see what the alternator is actually running at. Like I said, that gauge is a good standard, a good test. You kind of get comfortable where it's normally at. Any variation from the normal might tell you there's a problem, but it doesn't mean that's the exact voltage that's coming out of the alternator.
Yeah, the battery is 2 months old, and it's reading under load when it's running. It's testing at testing at rest at 12.5, and under load it's at 11.0. So I'm believing the battery is fine. But does the ECM, does the computer, is the vehicle protected from having a voltage overload? Or do I risk burning something up?
I don't think 15 volts is going to burn anything up, but I don't think it should sustain that for a long period of time. So it is possible the ECM is the person managing the alternator, but it's also possible that the alternator's regulator that's on the back of it is controlling the voltage. So I can't say for fact on that vehicle which it is, but if it continues to run over 15 volts, I would agree that that's probably too high. I'd like to see it in the mid-14s, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. Very good. We have to take a quick break here, Nick. We'll be right back on the other side. If you have any kind of a car care question, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, as we head to near 90 degrees today, right now it's 67. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you might have by phone or by text. Nick, we always like to bring up the idea that maybe some folks want the help in person from Lloyd's Automotive. How do we find you guys?
Hey, we're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which is a corner of Grand and Chatsworth. So if you swing on by and say hi, that'd be great. If you have a question and need a little advice, feel free to call us at 651-16. And as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
I think your phone number broke up just a little bit. What's that phone number again?
1316.
Okay. I better say it because you broke up again. 651-228-1316. We'll get you that number before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning when Ted Farrell will be checking in for his dad on the Haskell's Wine Chat. All right, we have texters, we have callers. Nick, let's see who we can help out here. Here's a text that says, what would make my 2012 VW Beetle start idling high in the last 2 weeks? Could that be the fan is working hard in this heat? The car does not get driven a lot.
Common thing that we hear, that it seems louder, seems faster, is just that with the air conditioning that we started using here recently, you'll notice that there's more audible noise coming from the vehicle. Oftentimes that is the fan, the cooling fan, that's running to keep the air conditioning running properly.
they'll kick up just a little bit when that compressor comes on to kind of allow the engine to manage that additional load. So I wouldn't expect a significant change in the engine speed or noise, but you'll notice a slight change.
You know, as you know, Nick, we always get nice input from listeners, too. Not only do you yourself give some great answers, some help, but we get some help from listeners as well. This text from a listener says, on that Chev with brake light problems, this listener found a junction box on the rear cross member with connections to each taillight and the trailer connections. It has small pins that were corroded and would not always handle the current, causing intermittent light operation. Very simple replacement. Hope this helps. Love the show. Well, thank you. Thanks for that input. And boy, again, another input here. We get help from other folks. To the gentleman with the older pickup with brake light issue, I had the same thing on my 2000 GMC pickup. It was the wiring harness. So there seems to be the culprit there, Nick.
You know, with our climate, with the winters and the salt in the roads, we do see a lot of connection corrosion type problems. And there was that junction block there too. Back at the bulbs, check for good ground contact, and then work our way forward.
You know, I think we're going to do, Nick, we're having some issues with your phone. It seems to be hesitating or breaking up, almost like it's a push-to-talk kind of a deal here. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll have a look at that forecast, see if the hot weather is going to stay with us. And then we have more show to come. We'll see if we can't get Nick to move around to a different location for his cell in the meantime. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Back with more here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, who happens to be an ASC-certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have callers and we have texters before we let you go this morning. Speaking of callers, let's grab one. Jim is calling in this morning from Woodbury, I believe. Hi, Jim. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I have a 2019 XT4 Cadillac. And yesterday, right before I was taking off, the first time I was actually moving out of the garage, it wouldn't shift into reverse. And now this morning, I just to check it out before I called you guys, I hopped in the car, and it into reverse. It went into drive and everything, but it would not go into reverse yesterday, first time starting it.
Jim, would you repeat what kind of a car is it?
It's a 2019 Cadillac XT4.
Well, my first assumption would be that something with the gear selector, you know, when you're moving it from park, reverse, neutral, drive, that it, for some reason, not seeing reverse. So, you know, there's a signal that goes from that shifter to the computer. The fact that it's working today makes you think, okay, maybe it's a one-time fault. So I would pay attention to it. I don't think you're on the verge of, like, some catastrophic failures. I wouldn't be worried to that extent. I would pay attention, you know, maybe get a notepad, a journal. Hey, it happened on this particular day, first time of the day. Maybe after you'd run some errands or you're out and about. Just make some notes, and if it continues to happen, you'll have to get it in and have someone take a look, probably scan the computer, see what if there's any code stored, look at the data. But I don't, based on what you're saying, I don't think you're looking at like a transmission or something like that.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a transmission issue because, I mean, there was no lights on my dash or anything. And then also, like when I put a reverse, it was fine, this morning, right when I jumped out here to check it out. But would I have to worry about that, sitting somewhere and all of a sudden the transmission doesn't shift into gear? Is there a manual way I can do it?
No, the mechanical connection there. What's happening is that when you move the selector, it sees that signal, sends that information to the computer, and the computer puts it in reverse. So, like I said, I don't. It could have been just a one-time fault. I wouldn't get too excited. I'd just pay attention to it. I don't think you're going to be stranded. You might not have another problem, quite honestly.
All right. Well, that's good news. That's good news. 651-461-9226, Car Care Show in progress. Texter says this, Nick. 2001 Toyota Corolla is rusting out. Texter would like to replace it with a car that's especially rust resistant. What would you recommend? Well, you and I have talked about
this. Move south.
Move to Arizona. Actually, when you think about that, Toyota Corolla has served you for about 23 years. As I started saying, you and I talk about this. The cars these days seem to last longer. They don't seem to rust out as earlier.
Oh, they're so much better than they used to be. The biggest thing you can do in the winter on the right day, not the sub-zero day, run it through the car wash, pay the extra dollar for the undercarriage rinse, because it does help. It really does. You know, we work on upwards of 10,000 cars a year at Lloyd's, and you can absolutely tell the difference between the ones that are washed and maintained versus those that are not. So, you know, it's, I can't stress it enough. And those winter months after a really grimy cycle there, when things, you know, warm up a little bit, run it through the wash, pay the extra little bit for the undercarriage, and that will pay you dividends as years go by.
Very good. Grab another phone call. They're coming in heavy today. Doug calling in this morning from St. Paul. Doug, thank you. What is your question?
Hi, I have a 2013 Chevy Captiva. I got the P0011 codes, and I changed my two VVT solenoids. I changed the intake solenoid, and I still got the code. I'm wondering do I need to change both of them, or what else should I look at? And also, what should I look at with the live data to diagnose it?
So you're on the right path. I think the easiest thing to do is replace that. And if you're capable of doing it yourself, replace the other solenoid. Other than that, you kind of want to try to watch the cam timing. If you have the capabilities to look at that, see where the cam timing is. Maybe, you know, if you have the capabilities of recording that, take it for a drive and see when those solenoids are coming on, if anything's changing. Because, you know, it's possible that something might be stuck. Obviously, we like to think electronic issues, but if there's something mechanical, if we have poor oil flow, there's a restriction, something's plugged, it could be the problem also. So the easiest thing to do is replace the other solenoid. Very difficult, as you'd know in the first one. And then try to find a way to record that data when you're driving it, when it's going through that cycle, it's operating the VVT, and see what you read.
All right. We're almost out of time. I want to see how many folks we can help out that have sent text messages to. Here's one, Nick. It says, with all the electronics and computer equipment in a new car, is it smart to extend the warranty?
External warranties are a maybe. You have to very carefully read the fine print. We accept them and deal with them often. Keep in mind that it's also a form of payment. So they might deem said repairs, they might want to have a process or a way they want to go about it, which maybe isn't our procedure. So they will pay for part of it, but the consumer might still be left with the balance of the bill. So it's not a sure, safe answer, I guess.
And like you've always said, read that fine print. It may tell you a whole lot. Here's a 2006 Equinox with loss of power, two engine lights on, possibly throttle position sensor, or could it be the accelerator sensor?
Both are an option. We would retrieve those fault codes, actually go and test them. You know, like I was telling that last caller, we'll read that data. So when you're operating the vehicle, if you're, you know, pressing the pedal, we're going to watch to see what the sensor is telling the computer, because keep in mind, everything, there's electronic sensors or switches that send information to a computer. It's up to the computer to read that and decide what to do. So sometimes there's a misunderstanding. Oh, I have this code. It says I need this part. So the code is telling you that this part is not telling the computer, or the computer's not reading it correctly. So there's a little bit of misconception. It can be a little confusing, but that's why we always want that live data to really dissect and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, very good. Town and Country, a 2012 Town and Country van. They say the alternator went out and took out the battery with it. I replaced both with new, but now the backup camera is not working. What do you propose to do there?
First, check fuses. It's possible if that alternator, like our earlier caller, if the alternator is overcharged, if that voltage was too high, it might have done something to a fuse, which might have caused it to pop. Fuses are there to protect the wiring in those components. So I'd get out the manual, figure out which fuse it is, try replacing that. That would be the easiest and first step.
Okay. Good morning, guys. This final text says this. Nick, is it necessary to replace the air conditioner condenser when replacing the AC compressor?
If the air conditioning compressor fails electronically, meaning nothing physically came apart, no. However, if it comes apart internally and there's metal fragments that make their way through, yes, it might be a requirement. So what we would do is, as we disassemble these things at those junction points, we're look for some metallic material. Because the last thing you want to do is have a compressor that failed internally. You replace it with a new one, but however, you still have those fragments in the system, which could ultimately damage that brand new compressor.
Maybe we can next sneak in one more quick one. How often should your car, I assume they mean the tires, the front end, they just want to know about alignment. How often should alignment be done on your vehicle?
There isn't a set time, to be honest, but what I would tell people, if you have any abnormal tire wear, it's absolutely the time to do it. You don't want to, you know, tires have gotten so expensive. You don't want to, you know, have any reason for them to fail prematurely. So if you have any drifting or pulling, abnormal wear, have that line checked and adjusted.
All right, very good. Well, Nick, we have to head out of here, make way for Ted and our wine chat. But for the folks, again, that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we do that?
Sir, so if you're in St. Paul, swing and say hi, right at 982 Grand Avenue. If you have a question, need some advice, please call 51-228-1316. And as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. We will connect with you next week, same time, same station, right?
I'm in for it.
All right, very good. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Don't fade out on me just yet. Good morning. Denny Long back at it along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. One time once again for CCO's Car Care Show. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's Automotive this past week?
Oh, very busy. The heat has definitely affected the cars on the road. So we're, I think we're almost 2 weeks behind at the moment, but we'll power through as always.
What's the typical ailment? And are newer cars just as prone to this, whether it's a cooler, not coolant, but the refrigerant leaking, or is that the most common?
Well, right now, air conditioning is definitely a hot topic, as you can imagine. You know, we hadn't needed most of the summer, and then in the last week or two here, as it's heated up, people have been going to that dial to turn on the air conditioning and hasn't been there for them. So we've had a lot of that work. But keep in mind, like, the past winter was quite mild, and the extremes are very hard on cars. So when it's very, very cold in the winter or very hot in the summer is what really taxes the vehicles and causes the breakdown. So since we've had a mild or not a very cold winter and a fairly cool summer up to this point, the cars haven't been stressed. And then now that they have, they're just a variety of problems that we're seeing. But it's fine. You know, this is kind of part of the course, and we'll keep marching and we'll get through them.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about the mild winter and the wet kind of summer. By the way, if you have any kind of a car care question, by all means, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. And you know our time is limited. Nick will take his leave about 7:45 this morning. So call or text 651-461-9226. Nick, speaking of phone calls, I see we have Nate calling in this morning from Mankato. Hi, Nate. You first up here. What's your question for Nick?
Well, a very good morning to you, sir. I have an 07 Chevy Silverado pickup, and I was informed by a policeman that I have no brake lights. Okay, I have a brake light on the cab. It comes on. I checked the fuses, and I checked the bulbs. To me, everything looked good. What else can I be looking for?
Well, at the base of the brake pedal, there is a switch there. When you depress the pedal, the switch will make contact, which then sends the power back to the bulbs themselves. So I'd tell you to maybe get a test light if you have one, or a voltmeter. Get back to those rear bulbs. Have somebody in the vehicle exercising the pedal and see if you're getting power back to there. If you're getting power, then we have to check the ground circuit. We have to make sure that we're making a good ground to complete the circuit. So it could be something as simple as a brake switch. Maybe there's a bad ground or a connection somewhere. But I think with a little time, you should be able to get to the bottom of it.
All right. Very good. Again, 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question you might have this morning for Nick. Here's a text, Nick. 2018 Chevy Suburban front tires are having inside tread worn off. They just had the passenger side ball joints replaced a year ago. Alignment or more, you think an alignment or more ball joints need replacement? What's your guess?
Well, I guess that kind of depends if they did the alignment when they replaced the ball joints. So I would start there. You know, an alignment's a lot less expensive. And the alignment's not bad maintenance. You know, we didn't have a very rough winter, but some of the roads are still pretty poor shape. So they can get out of alignment just from regular wear and tear. So if you're having abnormal wear of any sort, the first place to start is having that alignment checked and maybe adjusted.
All right, very good. Another call coming in just now. Let's see how many folks we can help out. Steve calling in from East Bethel this morning. Hi, Steve. What is your question, please?
Nick, I've got a Trailblazer that I've got an alternator question on. I put in a brand-new rebuilt alternator and then had it tested, and it's showing 15.5 volts, which is fail. Now, the range for this alternator, according to the Haynes manual, is 13.5 to 14.7 volts. So I'm not certain if I've got a bad alternator or not, but what's totally confusing the situation is my owner's manual that I'm looking at has a voltmeter gauge on my dash that shows a range of 9 to 19, which is a total of 10 volts, and says it's normal for the needle to transition to a higher or a lower reading during operation. I have a two-part question. What causes that fluctuation? And then the second thing is it something to do with what's in the computer, in the ECM? Because right now, I really don't want to tackle putting in another alternator and then going to the trouble of making sure to have it bench tested before I even leave the store.
So the alternator will put out what's asked of it. The range, like on your dash, you know, from the 9 to 19, is not 100% accurate either. You know, it says 9 to 19, but that hasn't been fully verified and tested and calibrated. So if it's typically in the middle, I would agree. I would like to see an alternator in most cases running around 14.2, you know, ish type volts. Now, when you have a heavy load, you have a lot of electronics running inside the vehicle. You got the blower fan, you got the radio, the headlights. You might see that gauge dip a little bit because it's trying to keep up with the load that's asked of it. Now, as far as you're running at 15.5 volts, I think that's a little bit high too. It's not full field, means it's not running at 100%. But there's a reason it's doing that. So either the regulator on that reman alternator is like an aftermarket one that isn't quite the same quality as an OE one, or there's a lot going on in the car asking the alternator to put out more. So before you remove the alternator, test the battery. Make sure that the battery is good and strong. It's not asking too much of the alternator to replenish it. Put a voltmeter actually on across the battery when the vehicle's running to see what the alternator is actually running at. Like I said, that gauge is a good standard, a good test. You kind of get comfortable where it's normally at. Any variation from the normal might tell you there's a problem, but it doesn't mean that's the exact voltage that's coming out of the alternator.
Yeah, the battery is 2 months old, and it's reading under load when it's running. It's testing at, testing at rest at 12.5. And under load, it's at 11.0, so I'm believing the battery is fine. But does the ECM, does the computer, is the vehicle protected from having a voltage overload? Or do I risk burning something up?
I don't think 15 volts is going to burn anything up, but I don't think it should sustain that for a long period of time. So it is possible that the ECM is the person managing the alternator, but it's also possible that the alternator's regulator that's on the back of it is controlling the voltage. So I can't say for fact on that vehicle which it is, but if it continues to run over 15 volts, I would agree that that's probably too high. I'd like to see it in the mid-14s, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. Very good. We have to take a quick break here, Nick, and be right back on the other side. If you have any kind of a car care question, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, as we head to near 90 degrees today, right now it's 67. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering any kind of a car care question you might have by phone or by text. Nick, we always like to bring up the idea that maybe some folks want the help in person from Lloyd's Automotive. How do we find you guys?
Hey, we're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which is a corner of Grand and Chatsworth. So if you swing on by and say hi, that'd be great. If you have a question and need a little advice, feel free to call us at 651-16. And as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
I think your phone number broke up just a little bit. What's that phone number again?
1316.
Okay. I better say it because you broke up again. 651-228-1316. We'll get you that number before Nick leaves us, which is close to 7:45 this morning when Ted Farrell will be checking in for his dad on the Haskell's Wine Chat. All right, we have texters, we have callers. Nick, let's see who we can help out here. Here's a text that says, what would make my 2012 VW Beetle start idling high in the last 2 weeks? Could that be the fan is working hard in this heat? The car does not get driven a lot.
Common thing that we hear, that it seems louder, seems faster, is just that with the air conditioning that we started using here recently, you'll notice that there's more audible noise coming from the vehicle. Oftentimes that is the fan, the cooling fan, that's running to keep the air conditioning running properly. It'll kick up just a little bit when that compressor comes on to kind of allow the engine to manage that additional load. So I wouldn't expect a significant change in the engine speed or noise, but you'll notice a slight change.
You know, as you know, Nick, we always get nice input from listeners, too. Not only do you yourself give some great answers, some help, but we get some help from listeners as well. This text from a listener says, on that Chev with brake light problems, this listener found a junction box on the rear cross member with connections to each taillight and the trailer connections. It has small pins that were corroded and would not always handle the current, causing intermittent light operation. Very simple replacement. Hope this helps. Love the show. Well, thank you. Thanks for that input. And boy, again, another input here. We get help from other folks. To the gentleman with the older pickup with brake light issue, I had the same thing on my 2000 GMC pickup. It was the wiring harness. So there seems to be the culprit there, Nick.
You know, with our climate, with the winters and the salt in the roads, we do see a lot of connection corrosion type problems. We need to have, you know, and there is that junction block there too. But back at the bulbs, check for good ground contact and then work our way forward.
You know, I think we're going to do, Nick, we're having some issues with your phone. It seems to be hesitating or breaking up, almost like it's a push-to-talk kind of a deal here. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll have a look at that forecast, see if the hot weather is going to stay with us. And then we have more show to come. We'll see if we can't get Nick to move around to a different location for his cell in the meantime. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Back with more here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with Nick Stoffel, who happens to be an ASC certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have callers and we have texters before we let you go this morning. Speaking of callers, let's grab one. Jim is calling in this morning from Woodbury, I believe. Hi, Jim. What is your question, please?
Good morning. I have a 2019 XT4 Cadillac. And yesterday, right before I was taken off, the first time I was actually moving out of the garage, it wouldn't shift into reverse. And now this morning, just to check it out before I called you guys, I hopped in the car, and it into reverse. It went into drive and everything, but it would not go into reverse yesterday, first time starting it.
Jim, would you repeat what kind of a car is it?
It's a 2019 Cadillac XT4.
Well, my first assumption would be that something with the gear selector, you know, when you're moving it from park, reverse, neutral, drive, that it, for some reason, not seeing reverse. So, you know, there's a signal that goes from that shifter to the computer. The fact that it's working today makes you think, okay, maybe it's a one-time fault. So I would pay attention to it. I don't think you're on the verge of, like, some catastrophic failures. I wouldn't be worried to that extent. But I would pay attention. You know, maybe get a notepad, a journal. Hey, it happened on this particular day, first time of the day. Maybe after you'd run some errands or you're out and about. Just make some notes. And if it continues to happen, you'll have to get it in and have someone take a look, probably scan the computer, see what if there's any code stored, look at the data. But I don't, based on what you're saying, I don't think you're looking at like a transmission or anything like that.
Yeah, it didn't sound like a transmission issue because, I mean, there was no lights on my dash or anything. And then also, like when I put a reverse, it was fine, like again this morning, right when I jumped out here to check it out. But would I have to worry about that, you know, sitting somewhere and all of a sudden the transmission doesn't shift into gear? Is there a manual way I can do it?
No, the actual mechanical connection there. What's happening is that when you move the selector, it sees that signal, sends that information to the computer, and the computer puts it in reverse. So, like I said, I don't. It could have been just a one-time fault. I wouldn't get too excited. I'd just pay attention to it. I don't think you're going to be stranded. You might not have another problem, quite honestly.
All right. Well, that's good news. That's good news. 651-461-9226, Car Care Show in progress. Texter says this, Nick. 2001 Toyota Corolla is rusting out. Texter would like to replace it with a car that's especially rust resistant. What would you recommend? Well, you and I have talked about
Move
this.
Move south.
Move to Arizona. Actually, when you think about that, Toyota Corolla has served you for about 23 years. As I started saying, you and I talk about this. The cars these days seem to last longer. They don't seem to rust out as earlier.
Oh, they're so much better than they used to be. The biggest thing you can do in the winter on the right day, not the sub-zero day, run it through the car wash, pay the extra dollar for the undercarriage rinse, because it does help. It really does. You know, we work on, you know, upwards of 10,000 cars a year at Lloyd's, and you can absolutely tell the difference between the ones that are washed and maintained versus those that are not. So, you know, it's, I can't stress it enough. And those winter months after a really grimy cycle there, when things, you know, warm up a little bit, run it through the wash, pay the extra little bit for the undercarriage, and that will pay you dividends as years go by.
Very good. Grab another phone call. They're coming in heavy today. Doug calling in this morning from St. Paul. Doug, thank you. What is your question?
Hi, I have a 2013 Chevy Captiva. I got the P0011 codes, and I changed my two VVT solenoids. I changed the one, the intake solenoid, and I still got the code. I'm wondering do I need to change both of them, or what else should I look at? And also, what should I look at with the live data to diagnose it?
So you're on the right path. I think the easiest thing to do is replace that, and if you're capable of doing it yourself. Replace the other solenoid. Other than that, you kind of want to try to watch the cam timing. If you have the capabilities to look at that, see where the cam timing is. Maybe, you know, if you have the capabilities of recording that, take it for a drive and see when those solenoids are coming on, if anything's changing. Because, you know, it's possible that something might be stuck. Obviously, we like to think electronic issues, but if there's something mechanical, if we have poor oil flow, there's a restriction, something's plugged, it could be the problem also. So the easiest thing to do is replace the other solenoid. Very difficult, as you'd know in the first one. And then try to find a way to record that data when you're driving it, when it's going through that cycle, it's operating the VVT, and see what you read.
All right. We're almost out of time. I want to see how many folks we can help out that have sent text messages too. Here's one, Nick. It says, with all the electronics and computer equipment in a new car, is it smart to extend the warranty?
External warranties are a maybe. You have to very carefully read the fine print. We accept them and deal with them often. Keep in mind that it's also a form of payment. So they might deem said repairs, they might want to have a process or a way they want to go about it, which maybe isn't our procedure. So they will pay for part of it, but the consumer might still be left with the balance of the bill. So it's not a sure, safe answer, I guess.
Yeah, well, and like you've always said, read that fine print. It may tell you a whole lot. Here's a 2006 Equinox with loss of power, two engine lights on, possibly throttle position sensor, or could it be the accelerator sensor?
Both are an option. We would retrieve those fault codes, actually go and test them. You know, like I was telling that last caller, we'll read that data. So when you're operating the vehicle, if you're, you know, pressing the pedal, we're going to watch to see what the sensor's telling the computer, because keep in mind, everything, there's just electronic sensors or switches that send information to a computer. It's up to the computer to read that and decide what to do. So sometimes there's a misunderstanding. Oh, I have this code. It says I need this part. So the code is telling you that this part is not telling the computer, or the computer's not reading it correctly. So there's a little bit of misconception. It can be a little confusing, but that's why we always want that live data to really dissect and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, very good. Town and Country, a 2012 Town and Country van. They say the alternator went out and took out the battery with it. I replaced both with new, but now the backup camera is not working. What do you propose to do there?
First, check fuses. It's possible if that alternator, like our earlier caller, if the alternator is overcharged, if that voltage was too high, it might have done something to a fuse, which might have caused it to pop. Fuses are there to protect the wiring in those components. So I'd get out the manual, figure out which fuse it is, probably replacing that. That would be the easiest and first step.
Okay. Good morning, guys. This final text says this. Nick, is it necessary to replace the air conditioner condenser when replacing the AC compressor?
If the air conditioning compressor fails electronically, meaning nothing physically came apart, no. However, if it comes apart internally and there's metal fragments that make their way through, yes, it might be a requirement. So what we would do is, as we disassemble these things, at those junction points, we're looking for some metallic material. Because the last thing you want to do is have a compressor that failed internally. You replace it with a new one, but however, you still have those fragments in the system, which could ultimately damage that brand new compressor.
Maybe we can, next, sneak in one more quick one. How often should your car, I assume they mean the tires, the front end, they just want to know about alignment. How often should alignment be done on your vehicle?
There isn't a set time, to be honest, but what I would tell people, if you have any abnormal tire wear, that's absolutely the time to do it. You don't want to, you know, tires have gotten so expensive. You don't want to, you know, have any reason for them to fail prematurely. So if you have any drifting or pulling, abnormal wear, have that line checked and adjusted.
All right, very good. Well, Nick, we have to head out of here, make way for Ted and our wine chat. But for the folks, again, that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we do that?
Sir, so if you're in St. Paul, swing and say hi right at 982 Grand Avenue. If you have a question, need some advice, please call 512-228-1316. And as always, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. We will connect with you next week, same time, same station, right?
I'm in for it.
All right, very good. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive.